You're listening to The Dark Side of the Radio, where all the good songs have gone. We are honored to have the guy with the coolest hair in rock on our station right now, Mr. Audley Freed. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing, John?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
So what you been working on, you know, lately? What's going on with you?
I'm in Nashville right now, man, at my good friend Brent Woodard's house. Got to send a shout out to him for letting me stay here. I've been up here. I was working with a band from Little Rock last week called Go Fast. Really cool rock and roll, real rock and roll band from over there. That any of your listeners in that area, if they're playing, you should go and check them out. I was in the studio all week last week working with those cats, and I'm getting ready to go up to Memphis to begin a project with a great guitar player and an even better guy named Alvin Youngblood Hart next week, and we're going to be going out and doing 3 dates. One, I think we're doing Oxford, Mississippi, Starkville, and Memphis. I know Memphis is on February 1st with a band project we've got called Job Kane, which is a story all unto itself. But this will be the launching pad for that. We're gonna be doing that, so I'm really looking forward to it because Alvin's such a great guy, and it's gonna be rock, 4-piece rock and roll band. My good buddy Robert Kearns, that was the bass player in Cry of Love, that I played in bands with for, I guess, 12-13 years, is gonna be playing bass.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently plays with a singer-songwriter down in Texas named Jack Ingram, and he plays with a great band from St. Louis called the Bottle Rockets, who you should check out if you hadn't heard of.
What was the name of those?
Jack Ingram is the guy from Texas. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Singer-songwriter. And the band that Robert's in is called the Bottle Rockets.
Okay.
And you'd really dig them.
Okay.
They're really great.
And you've also been working with Mike Ferris in Peaceful Knievel. How's that going?
That's cool, man. You know, it's kind of a it's more of a project than a band.
Okay.
Because everybody's so busy. You know, it's hard for us to, it's really kind of impossible for us to try to get together to really seriously do anything. So we kind of just play for fun when we can, just really to enjoy each other's company. And everybody is so good in the band. There's so much talent and so much ability. And there's a certain spark that happens when we play that we kind of just get together and for the hang and play some songs that we like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I sure would like to see it go further than that. You know, who knows what's going to happen this year, but everybody's so busy once again, you know, that
right.
it's been a little bit prohibitive when Charlie's in Japan and I'm in the studio in Nashville and Andy's on the road with Schofield and George is out playing with Chris and Mike's working on his solo record. You know, that was kind of the scenario for the past 6 months.
You right. Know? So what kind of work are you, I mean, are you in a band right now with this, you know, that you said that you're fixing to go play some shows or anything? What, is that like a long-term thing? Or what's
you know, you never can tell, man.
Uh-huh.
We've never played a lick together. I don't even know the drummer. I've never even seen him.
Right.
But he's coming in from the West Coast. We're going to just get together and play and go out and play the shows, and if it's fun, then I'm sure we'll get together again and maybe do some more stuff. You know, it's a really exciting prospect because Alvin and I are the same age. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but you ought to check him out too, man. He's a real deal, that cat is. He just got nominated for a Grammy last week.
Hmm.
But Alvin's a great, like, solo blues guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, real deal guy, you know, and is real knowledgeable about it, and but the thing about it is he's not a snob about it, and he doesn't, you know, wear it like some kind of badge that gives him the right to condescend to people, you know what I mean?
He's
totally cool, but Alvin's also a rocker at heart. He grew up, he's the same age as me, so we both grew up listening to a lot of the same music, and we kind of discovered, we met in 2001 at Warren Haynes' Christmas Jam. He played and I played and we kind of hit it off, and then we just started talking to each other, man, and you know, talking about music and this and that, and I mean down to some really silly hate that, man. You know, so
right.
He ended up sending me this bootleg of this Outlaws show that had been from 75, I guess, that he had taped off the radio in 81 and then lost the cassette and found it just like 3 months ago and made me a CD, you know, and we're all talking, you know, it's just geek stuff, man, you know.
right.
But kindred spirits, I really do think, man. I really do think. And so he kind of knows where I'm coming from, and I know where he's coming from before we even start playing. And so, I mean, he sent me a song list of some songs that he wanted to mess around with. And, mm-hmm. you know, every one of them, I was like, oh, yeah, right on, you know. And then I was telling him some, and he was like, well, I was thinking about that one. I was thinking about, you know. So mm-hmm. it's going to be good fun. We'll see where it leads, you know.
It sounds pretty, like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it will be good, man. It's just going to be rocking, you know. I mean, it's going to be like rock and roll music, you know, like straight up guitar stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know, our love for the stuff from that era when we were kids. I mean, that's how I learned how to play guitar, you know. All that stuff was new when I was a kid. You know?
Let's talk a little bit about that. You probably talked about that a million times with people, but
I love it, though, man.
Okay, good. Well, I'm really interested in that. And we had some people email about that. Who are some of your biggest influences to where you actually heard it and you said, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to play, you know, I want to play guitar?
Well, you know, it kind of came in stages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, man, you heard the radio was kind of like what you're doing with your station now, except it wasn't even that way in Renegade formats on AM radio. You
uh-huh.
know, you would hear Al Green, and you'd hear Led Zeppelin, then you'd hear Sly and the Family Stone, then you'd hear Alice Cooper, and then you'd hear Yes, and then you'd hear Chuck Berry.
Which is all a wide variety,
yeah,
really.
All on one station in one half hour. You know,
yeah.
It would be Santana, and then, you know, some cleanup woman, some Southern Soul
uh-huh.
thing, and then, you know, it would be, you know, some country Poco, and then it would be some hard rock, Bad Company or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all on one station. And so I feel really, really fortunate that I came of age in a time when I was able to hear all that stuff, because it really sticks with me now. All of it does.
Right.
You know, and I think if you ask a lot of other guys from my generation, I think if you talk to, you know, most of the guitar players that do what I do and I do what they do, all us rock guys, all were sort of born out of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, hearing things on the radio just knocked me out when I was a kid. Let's Stay Together by Al Green, School's Out by Alice Cooper, Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh, you know what I mean? Air That I Breathe by the Hollies, all these songs, you know, and you were just, and it was just such an intriguing, mysterious thing, and I still enjoy all that stuff,
right?
You know, because, you know why? Because it was good, you know, it was quality, and it still holds up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I started taking guitar lessons for a little while when I was a kid, and I went through that for a bit, and then my teacher said, look, you know, I've really kind of taken you as far as I can take you, so you should learn on your own. So I really learned off records after that, and I would say the record that I probably learned as much guitar on off of, as far as all the way around, was probably the Leonard Skinner live record, One More from the Road, because there's three guitar players on it,
mm-hmm.
three great guitar players on it, all of whom had different sounds, Steve Gaines with his Strat, Alan Collins with his Firebird and Explorer, and Gary Rawson with his Les Paul, you know, and so I began to be able to see, oh, that's what a Strat sounds like. Oh, that's what a Les Paul sounds like, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus three distinctive styles. And so I really delved into that and learned a lot off that to learn. So those things, you know, there was a whole lot of other stuff in the mix. It was, certainly wasn't exclusively that, you know, Johnny mm-hmm. Winter and Led Zeppelin and I don't know, you know, as far as my early high school years go, there was a lot of other stuff on the radio, you know,
yeah.
Doobie Brothers and Bachman Turner Overdrive and stuff like that. That wasn't so hard for a young kid to grasp. Steve Miller, you know,
yeah.
Eagles, things like that, you know, Joe Walsh, that you could kind of sit down with the record and go, I think I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember the very first song I ever learned how to play was by a band called Ozark Mountain Daredevils, whom, if you hadn't heard, you'd do yourself well to go and check them out. There's two best dubs out that have just come, that they finally got around to reissuing, that you could find probably pretty easily. And they had a song called Look Away that was a minor FM hit.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And like 75, something like that, 76. And I just remember one night going, man, I think I'm playing the right chords along with this thing. So that I'd really unlocked something there, you know.
Right.
Being able to figure something out off the record.
How old were you when you actually started getting, you know, pretty good at guitar?
Oh, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. You know, I remember going into one of my first lessons. I probably hadn't been playing 6 weeks, and I was in the fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
And my guitar teacher talking to the guys that worked in the music store, you know, and I guess they were probably all in their early 20s at the time. You know, they seemed like freaky hippies to me, you know.
Right.
And I remember him telling the guys, and the story goes, fellas, you're looking at the next Eric Clapton. And I was going, who's Eric Clapton?
Right.
I was in the fourth grade, man.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
So, you know, I guess I showed some ability early on.
Yeah. Are there any, well, let's talk about radio a little bit first. How do you feel about, and my listeners will probably go, here he goes rambling on about radio again.
Oh, you mean you?
Oh, me, yeah. Because, yeah, every guest I have on, we have to talk about the state of commercial radio. Because I like radio, you know.
Sure.
Everybody does, you know. I mean, I don't know about these days, but at one point radio is, I think, a part of everybody's life if they like music, you know. And how do you feel about how, you know, FM radio is really, really, you know, really terrible these days?
Well, I'm just about halfway not qualified to comment because I don't really listen to it, you know.
Uh-huh.
The only time I ever really do is when I'm driving in my car, and that's usually on a long drive somewhere, because, you know, I can listen to CDs in my car, tapes in my car to a point, but then you kind of feel, you know, if you're driving at 9 hours, 12 hours, you kind of want to feel like you're sort of connected to the outside world, and, you know, you want to kind of hear somebody talk or something, you know, by
yeah.
yourself. But I don't know, man. You know, it's bad. It's all, you know, it's been headed that way for years and years. It seems to be worse now than ever. And, you know, these morning, the DJ personalities, you know, are people that it doesn't have anything to do with music.
Right.
All they do is, you know, come on, and they just pander to lowest common denominator, and I think it's insulting to people's intelligence, you
uh-huh.
know, and I think it also is really problematic in that it kind of fosters and encourages, you know, like stupidity, really.
Right.
Divisive thinking, small thinking, and stupidity, you know. I'm talking about these morning shows, you know, type quote-unquote personalities.
Uh-huh.
Whereas back in the old days, you know, and I wasn't old enough to really hear underground FM, and I also lived in a rural area in North Carolina, but as far as like a real underground FM radio that had started in, you know, way back when,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't, that was before my time and not of my immediate culture. But, you know, there used to be cats that were on the radio, even when I was a kid, on the local station in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is, you know, a 50,000 person town, which is about 25 miles from where I grew up, you know, I mean, it's about as small a market as you're going to find.
Right.
You know, but these guys had personalities, and they knew what they were talking about, and they would talk about who played on these records when they played them, you know, and things of that nature. You know, I think you'd be hard-pressed these days to find a DJ that, you know, that could even tell you the name of the, you know, of the lead guitar player in a lot of these bands. I guess most of them don't even have lead guitar players.
Right.
But you know, so it's sad, but, you know, it's your choice. You don't have, nobody's making you listen to it.
Right.
But it is sad. I mean, I think that having personalities, you know, I'm not into these radio stations. Let's talk.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear somebody talk, and I want to hear some personality, and let's exploit these airwaves, you know, in such a way that you can feel like that there's some communication going on rather than just being yelled at.
Yeah.
By a bunch of guys who don't have anything to do with music, you know.
Yeah, that's sort of the way I feel about it too. And
I mean, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry, but if I listen, it's usually either to NPR or to the, if, you know, to the oldie station. I'm talking like the real oldies.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, classic rock stations. I mean, how much Hotel California can you take? You know? No disrespect to the song, but
that's, yeah, they've, you know, pretty much ruined that one. If I put it in an Eagle CD, I don't listen to that one now because of probably radio. You know.
Yeah. Well, think about me, man. You know, I've been hearing that song since it came out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're definitely tired of hearing that one.
yeah, exactly. You know, Comfortably Numb, you know, that's one of the greatest.
Yeah, totally.
You know, one of the greatest rock songs and performances that you'll hear. But, you know, I'm sorry, don't need to hear it. You know, I was at a restaurant the other night in a bar,
uh-huh,
with a buddy of mine, and they were playing Led Zeppelin IV over on the stereo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just in the background. And about halfway through Stairway to Heaven, I started paying attention to it, and I was going, man, you know what, that really sounds fantastic, man, listen to it, you know.
Right.
But it's just the kind of thing that, when it comes on the radio, you know, you just switch your station, and of course I never sit around my house and put it on and listen to it, you know what I mean, but it just goes to show you, like you say, it's almost like it ruins great music for you.
It really does, yeah. And when I listen to Comfortably Numb, I always tend to listen to, like, the live version. You know, they put out a live box set of The Wall, and I don't know if you've heard that, but it's...
No, really, I heard about that, right? Yeah,
yeah,
I've heard about
it. It's really, really good, and Gilmore really rips that one up,
right,
in a live setting, and so I definitely prefer the live versions of that. And, yes, I totally agree about Stairway to Heaven, too, yeah.
You know, it was just amazing that I listened to something and I just went, man, boy, that is fantastic.
That is something.
But it's just been so long since I've listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, you know.
Right.
Because every time you get barraged with it, you just turn it off.
And like you were saying, that you don't get these days, is that... It, you know, I wasn't around back then, obviously, 19 years old, but I've heard that back, you know, in the 70s and I guess 80s too, early 80s, that you could turn on, especially 60s and 70s, you could turn on the radio and, like you said, hear Sly and the Family Stone, and then you could hear Led Zeppelin.
Well, yeah, to be honest with you, that I would imagine, man, that's probably pretty much all over with by about 1976.
Okay.
When disco music came in, it kind of, the whole thing kind of got skewed. Now, that's just from my revisionist perspective, from what I can remember,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? But I'm talking about early 70s when I was a really young kid. I remember hearing that kind of thing. Now, on FM radio, there was a station out of Jacksonville, North Carolina, that was WXQR 105.5 that was an album rock station, you know, and you would hear everything on it, you know, and it was new, and they used to play, and they played a feature album every night at midnight. They played the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
Either it would be something that was released that week or something old, and then on Saturday night at midnight, they played six albums in a row.
Wow.
You know, and this is on commercial FM radio station.
Full albums.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I had, you know, my generation's version of downloading music was to get the tape cassette fire, recorder fired up.
Right, right.
You know, like the first version I ever had of Layla, I taped off the radio.
Huh.
Of the album, the first version I ever had of the Woodstock album,
uh-huh.
I taped off the radio. You know, I taped a lot of stuff. I had two, you know, back in the old days, man, we used to carry around cassette tape boxes full of cassettes. They hold like 24 cassettes, you know, and I had like 2.5 of those things just full of stuff I taped off the radio. King, and there used to be a show called King Biscuit Flower Hour that came on, syndicated on Sunday night. That was live, and you can go buy CDs now that they release on their own label of a lot of those performances, and unfortunately they all got stolen from me years and years ago. But yeah, man, all kinds of stuff.
And that's something that you want. You know, it's again, it seems like the mainstream bands these days. You know, back in the 70s and stuff, Pink Floyd didn't sound like Led Zeppelin, and they didn't sound like the Grateful Dead. They were all different, and it seems like today with mainstream rock, they all sound the same. You know, there's no creativity
either. Well, yeah,
there was
the individual personalities. I mean, it's pretty bleak, man, when you can, you know, when you look back on the quote-unquote the faithless bands of my generation, And they have so much, you know, seem to have so much more personality than the these guys that are out today. You know, now granted, I don't pay attention. Maybe people do know the names of the drummer in these bands or whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean? But when I was there, was just so much more personality to as far as what I feel in my heart when I hear things back in, you know, back then. But the business has done it to themselves. You know, they've done it. It's just all about money, man. I mean, it has been for years and years and years, but it's just gotten so much worse. You know,
because you know, it seems like, but it does seem like something's got to change soon. I would think, to where,
well,
you know, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know how many people are listening to the radio and how many ads they're selling. It's all about them selling ads. I mean,
yeah.
You know, for all we know. You know, the Arbitron ratings or whatever they call them, in Cincinnati, their modern rock station, you know, it might be the best year they ever had. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, people write us and, you know, we play stuff like anything. We'll play 3 or 4 in a row from Graham Parsons and the Byrds. We'll play, and then we'll play something like, you know, the Beechwood Sparks. And then we'll play, you know, Oasis, Cry of Love. We'll play Led Zeppelin. We'll play all Johnny Cash. We play all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And people email us and say, you know, wow, you know, we introduce people to newer music and stuff that they haven't heard, and they're like, you know, what has happened to radio? You know, this is what radio should be doing. And I'm thinking, you know, it just looks like this would. Why don't some, you know, commercial radio station do something like this? But
well, they can't, man. I mean, it's just there's just too much money at stake, and they're all owned by the same people, and there's no, you know, the industry frowns on people that are, you know, the industry will go actively out of their way to shut people down that try to buck the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, it just doesn't happen. There's a good station here in Nashville called WRLT that plays some left or center stuff.
What's their,
it's 100.1, I think.
100.1.
You know, I mean, like, they're playing the track off the new Pretenders record. You know, they're taking some chances. I mean, it's certainly nothing like it used to be, but I mean, it sounds like the same song playing for an hour. You can't tell who it is, you know what I mean?
There's a station in Nashville that I used to listen to a lot, 105.9. The Rock, I believe it is.
Right.
They do some pretty decent stuff. On the weekends, they play 3 and 4 in a row from different artists, which is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and for guys of your age, you know, it's probably a good education. I mean, it's the same thing when I was a kid when I used to listen to this station in Jacksonville, North Carolina. You know, they played a lot of songs that were 5, 6 years old at the time. Well, you know, when you're 15, that's a long time, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would hear a lot of music. I got turned on to a whole lot of music that wasn't new at the time, but because this station
good. I mean, it can be a good start. I mean, for me.
Right, of course, you know.
Yeah. Because, you know, for me, I listened to a local rock station. I loved it. And then, you know, of course, nowadays I don't listen to it anymore. But, yeah, it's a good start.
Right, you know, as far as that goes, I mean, as many times as we've heard a lot of these songs, you know, on the positive side of things, at least there's a place for kids to start.
Mm-hmm.
To hear them if they don't get it at home from their parents, you know.
Right. Are there any new like independent bands or something that you are into lately or worth checking out that you know of?
Let's see.
Because we like to play a lot of those. Because there's a lot of good independent music out there that doesn't get heard, you know.
Right. There's a really fantastic record that came out last year that's gotten a lot of critical acclaim, but I probably didn't sell very many copies by a soul singer named Solomon Berg. Have you heard that record?
Oh, no, I haven't heard that, but he was on the latest Derek Trucks record.
Right, right. Well, he's got a record. You know, he was a cat that was on Atlantic back in the day. You know, back in the golden age of soul music.
Mm-hmm.
And just made a record last year that is really soothing as far as the way it sounds and is performed and everything. Really, really good. I think it's called Don't Give Up On Me. He's got a bunch of great writers on there. You know, he's got songs from Dylan and Van Morrison and Dan Penn and Tom Waits, Elvis Costello, and just really, really good, man.
No, I haven't heard anything about that, but
it's soul
his
stuff, you know, straight up, you know, soul stuff, but it sounds really good. It's real, like I said, it's real organic and real fun to listen to. It's real soothing, you know. And he sings. It's really something else. I mean, he definitely hadn't lost a step. He maybe even gained a couple, you know. So that record's really good. I don't know, man. Let me go get my little CD book. I hadn't bought any records lately too much. I can't even remember the last thing I did. I did get. I'm always catching up on older stuff, you
uh-huh.
know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's see what I got here, if there's anything. Oh, yeah. This guy from Athens named Kevin Kenny. Are you familiar with Kevin?
Uh-huh.
You say you are or you're not?
No, I'm not.
You do yourself well. You'd really enjoy this. You should have him on the show, too, man. He was in a band called Driving and Crying for years.
Uh-huh. I haven't heard of them either.
What's you do really well.
I'm writing this down.
You should get in touch with Kevin. He's got a record that came out last year called Broken Hearts and Auto Parts.
Broken Hearts and Auto Parts. Uh-huh.
And it's just really good, man. It's so heartfelt. And he just puts heart and soul into everything that he sings, and you can really feel it, and it's really affecting, you know. It's just real stuff. He's just a real cat.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So you'd do yourself well to check that out, man. Let me see, man. As far as independent things go.
Well, it doesn't have to be whatever you have. It doesn't matter about independent, but
you know, the Los Lobos record from last year, Good Morning Athlon, is really good. There's a track on there called Tony and Maria that's absolutely beautiful. There's also another one called The Big Ranch that's really awesome too. Once again, real heartfelt and very real music that's affecting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things as far as two or three things. There's a record that's kind of hard to find. There's a guy from Muscle Shoals named Eddie Hinton that was a studio guitar player and a writer and a singer down there.
Mm-hmm.
Made several records in the 70s, but there's a compilation on the label called Zane, Zane.
Mm-hmm.
German. It's really hard to find, but you could probably find yourself a copy of him doing demos of his songs.
Uh-huh.
That's really good too. I mean, it is some down home chicken grease. So
I wonder where I could find something like that at.
I don't know. Just go on the web.
Get on the web here. Okay.
Run a search on Kevin Kenny, and you'll be able to find him too. I think you'll really enjoy that.
Yeah. I can go back and listen to it, but I'm also writing these down. It's, yeah, anything you suggest, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd do well to check out that Ozark Mountain Daredevil stuff too, man. It's fun music. It's not the greatest country rock ever made, but it's mm-hmm. really fun, and it's from Springfield, Missouri. It's from somewhere besides L.A., you know, so it's kind of interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I've been getting into a lot of lately is country rock type stuff. I love that.
Makes you feel good, man.
Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about I got the bootleg. It was after the Crows first broke up, I believe it was, and you and Chris showed up at the Malibu Inn and played with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that on CD. A great, great show. And a lot of fans really liked that, you know, that you were there playing with Mark, because a lot of people, you know, think you two are just, you know, really, really great guitarists, which is true. And so that was just, you know, a dream come true, you know, Audley and Mark there together. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about?
Sure. I was out in L.A. last year. It was about this time of year, I believe, January.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I ran into Chris at Stereophonics show at the House of Blues out there. And he said, man, we're going to have this jam on Sunday. You want to come down and play? And I said, sure. So that's pretty much how that came about.
Okay. Are you planning on working with Chris in the future? As far as a lot of people thought, you might have been on New Earth Mud, but
no, I think that Chris, I think his, you know, I'm saying I think, but
mm-hmm.
Seems to me that he wanted to make it, you know, make a clean break and not carry any baggage from the band or
yeah.
any of the people that he had worked with in the past really into the project, you know, and I don't blame him for that one bit, you know, I totally understand where he's coming from, you know.
What do you think of the record he did make?
Man, I have to be honest with you. I saw him live, but I hadn't heard it.
Uh huh.
You know,
It's. I'll just tell you that it's nothing compared to his electric live shows.
Right.
It's a lot. I mean, it's really mellow, but his electric live show is just really, really, really good. I don't even listen to the record anymore. I just listen to the bootlegs.
No, I went out and saw him. I thought it was great. I mean, he's got a great band. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about those cats are rocking and a good bunch of guys too. Of course, George is my brother, you know, from from the Peaceful thing. I love George Lax, one of the greatest human beings you'll ever meet, man. He's an awesome cat. And George Reef, the bass player, you know, he's an Austin guy. So you got to give props to the Austin people.
He's soulful too, isn't he?
What's that?
He's soulful, isn't he?
Yeah, George. Oh, yeah, he's great. He's a great cat, too, man.
Yeah.
And Stacy Brothers are great, you know.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his gig.
There's been some questions, and I don't want to get into anything too negative or anything here, but there's a lot of questions about over, you know, ever since you joined the Crows about how people thought you should have played a little more on Lions or maybe in the live shows. You know, a lot of people say that Rich didn't let Audley, you know, do a lot or do as much as he should have. You know, they say that some people say that your mix in the live CD, you know, it should have been louder. There's always been that talk of Rich sort of being a, you know, really power hungry and that kind of thing. Do you have anything to, you know, comment on that?
Well, man, I mean, you can look at it's him and Chris's band. He can do anything that he wants to do.
Totally, totally, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And nobody can say anything about that. Do I think it was smart at all times to not really play to your strengths?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Musically, I don't think I don't think you're getting the most out of the musicians or the music by not doing that, but at the same time, you know, he had a vision, it's his thing, he can do whatever he wants to do. Is that something that makes sense for people to participate in year after year? Depends on the person, you know.
But, I mean, personally, when I listen to the live record, it's not all that, I mean, I liked it in the beginning, but as you listen to it, it doesn't really, the production of it's really not all that great. But you know, like during title song, you know, you really rip that up, and you think this needs, you know, Audley needs to be a little louder. You know, at times you do, you know, you think that, you think Audley should be a little louder in the mix because you're really doing some great stuff, but it's hard to hear you sometimes on the live record especially.
Well, you know, that's kind of in the whatever category to me at this point, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even listened to the whole thing all the way through.
Right.
And, you know, that's a chapter that's closed, and there's, I mean, there ain't no reason to sit around and speculate. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It is what it is, and it's not going to be changed. And so, you know, let's all just be positive and go forward and play some more good music, man.
Good deal, good deal. I just had to ask you about that. Cause
sure, hey, man, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind about that.
Certainly.
Hear about your solo record. A lot of people seem to think that you're working on a solo record. That's not the case, though, is it? Or is it?
No, not right now.
Okay.
So, actually, I've been breeding elephants in Africa. Let's get that rumor started. No, man, I'm not, man. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, this is the first year, 2002
mm-hmm.
It was the first year in since 1982, 20 years. Wow, that I haven't been in a band.
Right.
I'm talking about like that being the focus of my musical journey, you know, or my musical output, however you want to phrase it. This is the first last year, and this year the first year that I haven't been, you know, committed to something as a primary musical outlet, and it's been pretty damn all right, man. To be
yeah.
honest with you, I'm getting to enjoy a lot of experiences playing with a whole bunch of different people, playing a lot of different kinds of music, and it's been really fresh and refreshing. I guess we have to ignore that beep. And so, I feel real fortunate. I, you know, at some point, I probably will get a record, you know, of some description. I, you know, I spent 12 years, well, about 10 years in a band in Cry of Love where I was kind of the point guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, you know, basically, instrumentally, we were a three-piece band, you know, with a singer. And so, I'm the guy that plays the instrument that you play chords on.
Right.
It's kind of left up to me to come up with most of the material and everything, and you know, we did that for 10 years, and you know, we spent a lot of time on the road in a van, and we made two records for a major label, and you know, had a little bit of success, and you know, I've done that game, and right now I've been really having a good time, you know, doing this other stuff,
right?
Just kind of. Freelance, and you know, which is something that I've never done before, so it's kind of a new page, and it's real educational musically, you know, and it's real good for your musicianship and for your ear and for your heart, you know, to play with a variety of people that you respect and that you can learn from, you know.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, yeah, it's totally. I mean, when I was your age, the only thing I wanted to do was, I got to, man, we'll get this band, man, we'll get out on the road. You know what I mean? And that's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, at some point I might do that again.
Yeah.
But as far as right now, I kind of want to leave the door open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't put it this way. I don't think I would want to commit to anything. I mean, I had a few things come across my desk last year as far as some auditions for some gigs, and you know, people calling me and saying, hey, so and so is looking for a guitar player. You know, I'll put your name in hat. And I turned them all down, man, because I just wasn't ready to, you know, I wasn't ready. I felt like I wanted to do something that was more, instead of working for somebody, playing, I wanted to, you know, to be able to do something that was a little more expressive on my end of things and kind of pick and choose. And, you know, it's not always financially the most lucrative thing that you can do, but, you know, sometimes you have to look at your happiness and not your wallet, and then reality comes knocking, and then you got to go make some money.
I think that's very cool, though. I do. I think that's really, really good.
Well, it's fun. You know, I'm having a blast. I can't wait for this thing next week. You know, I just, like I said, I was in the studio with these cats last week. I played on a record here in Nashville for a couple of weeks back in October by a guy named Josh Bennett that's going to come out on RCA at some point. That's just, Fans Kid is fantastic, man. And so that was really a, really a fun thing. And, you know, I've played on a bunch of stuff this year, and played with a bunch of people and done some road time and a bunch of studio time and stuff. So it's been really good. But keep your eyes and ears out for this kid, Josh. I don't know. I had absolutely no idea when it will come out. Probably not before the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But,
what's his last name again?
His last name is Bennett.
Josh Bennett. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good stuff. I mean, I hope it, you know how these labels are. I mean, I hope it does come out.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it will, but I think you'll really, it's a breath of fresh air. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you a little bit about Cry of Love. I was listening to Cry of Love, this morning, actually. We played like four in a row from Cry of Love.
I hear you. Check's in the mail, right?
Huh?
The check is in the mail, right?
Yeah, it is. but I've recently been getting into, Cry of Love. I mean, I've heard them over, you know, ever since you joined the Crows, I've of course listened to them. But here lately, I've really been, you know, feeling what that music is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really liking that lately. Did you write all those songs, or most of them, or how did that work? I don't really know a lot about Cry of Love.
I wrote the majority of the stuff, man, but I'm not going to take credit for every bit of it. No,
okay.
You know what I mean? But like I said, I was the guy in the band that played the instrument that you play chords on. So, you know, that's kind of, you kind of by default,
mm-hmm.
you know, write a lot of music, you know?
And tell me what exactly happened. I know you guys made some records, and did the lead singer, like, did he quit, or
what happened? Well, our first lead singer, Kelly, who's a dear friend of mine, he was the second guy. We had another guy before him, Pee Wee, who's also a good friend of mine. But with Kelly was the guy that we kind of found our feet musically with him, you know, and we went out and did this mammoth tour, you know. We toured for 16 months in a van. We went to Europe about three times, and, you know, we went out with Robert Plant, with Aerosmith, and with ZZ Top, and played with all these people, and that's where I first met a lot of the friends that I still have, like Mike from the Cheetah Wheelies, and my friend Damon Johnson from Brother Kane, and people like that. But we got back, you know, and we just had just decided that the best thing for the band at the time was that we would just try to find another lead singer, which was a terrible mistake. But, you know, it was the kind of thing where, you know, we didn't really give it as much thought as we should have, and really, as guys in bands are prone to do, you know, we pretty much shut down all communication between us, and the easiest solution seemed to be, well, let's just, you know, we'll just chop the head off and we'll just find somebody else.
Right.
Rather than sitting down and trying to talk things out and maybe, you know, enduring the pain of that, you know, and coming out the other side of it stronger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so that's basically what happened. So we let Kelly go, and the air kind of went out of the balloon at that point. I mean, we wrote a whole bunch of songs after that and made another record, but the spirit of the thing was gone, and it just wasn't, there wasn't any reason to carry on with something just to be carrying on with it.
Right.
You know, if it's not going to be something that you know is touching the right places in inside of you, then you know it's really not worth doing, you know.
Yeah, because I had wondered, you know, why this band ever broke up. I was like, geez, you know, this is a great, great sound. And then I started reading up on it, and
yeah, and you know what, man? To be honest with you, I mean, it's hard, man. And I mean that was 10 years ago. Our record came out 10 years ago this May, and it's hard. Being in a rock and roll band is hard, man. I mean, it's not, you know, to keep one together and you know, to go through the record deals and losing the record deals and the lean times and all that stuff. I mean, you can do it. I've done it. You know, you pay your dues and you don't really think of it as a sacrifice, but know, especially the kind of music that we played. I mean, there's no way we could ever even get a record deal right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the way the climate is. But I mean, and we stuck out like a sore thumb 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a difficult thing. It takes a lot of work, and it, you know, it takes a lot of sacrifice. Sometimes, you know, it'll just beat you down. It'll just, you know, it'll just get to a point where you just kind of look around and go, well, is this really worth it?
Right.
You know, and if you don't have, if you're not able to sustain yourself, you know, if you don't have a huge fan base and places that you can go and play and make a little bit of money, it just, you know, you kind of just, it's almost like you complete a cycle, I should say, you know, and you kind of look around and go, well, there's really nowhere else left to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it happen time and time and time and time and time again. And especially these days, man, I mean, and the criminal part about it is that these days, the guys that are making interesting music and you know, guys that make fairly organic music, that the kind of music that we like, not that that's the only kind of good music, but the kind of stuff that touches people like us, I mean, they don't stand a chance as far
right.
as major labels go or getting on the radio or anything.
Yeah.
But maybe that's all going to change. You know, don't whine about it. Just,
yeah.
You know.
Hopefully it will change.
Yeah, who knows? You know, and if it doesn't, like I said, nobody's making anybody listen to the radio. Go find these records for yourself. They're out there, you know.
And there is still that, you know, there's that scene where, you know, all of us, you know, our kind of people, they do have ways of getting to new music.
Oh, absolutely,
so,
man.
So, yeah.
It ain't that hard.
Right.
It ain't that hard, you know, and it's, you know, there's stuff out there, and there's stuff that you can derive a lot of pleasure from
mm-hmm.
out there, you know, and there's a whole lot of old records that I ain't heard yet that I still need to educate myself with.
Right. Talking about Cry of Love again, the lead singer, what was his last name?
The guy on our first record, Brother, his name's Kelly Holland.
Okay, and was he the one that that sang on Peace Pipe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's he doing these days?
Kelly's been living in Raleigh in our hometown. He lives about four blocks from me.
Uh-huh.
And he has a band there in town called Crush that
uh-huh.
does a lot of, like, 60s and 70s, some 80s, like, soul and rock songs. They're not like your typical cover band. They'll go out in left field with like AM hit songs that you hadn't heard in a really long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays drums quite well, I must say, and sings. He just played drums on a song. I have a studio in my house, and I've been recording a lot of songs this year that I write. And I just recorded him playing his drums over at his house. I just mixed them on a track. I should send you an MP3 of some stuff.
Hey, that'd be cool. Real cool. So I didn't know whatever happened, you know. I didn't know what he went on to do.
That was pretty much it, man. He's really happy. He's really, you know, he's into his life as he's got it. He's, you know, he's really into his mountain biking.
Yeah.
Chilled, man. He's in a good headspace. It's really good. I'm glad to be his friend.
Yeah.
Cool.
You kind of always, I don't know a lot about him or Cry of Love, but it always seemed that he would be that type of person where, you know, all the fame and stuff didn't really mean a whole lot, maybe.
No, you know, I think maybe at one time we all thought that it would,
mm-hmm.
just like everybody does, and then you figure out, well, this ain't solving anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to look somewhere else for some happiness, you know, and he did, and good for him, man.
Yeah. I had to touch base on, of course, Cry of Love. I've really been liking that lately. And
sure, man. Dig it right on.
Yeah. And I think you're an excellent guitar player, obviously. And
thanks, man.
And I just look forward to anything that you do in the future, of course. And I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up here.
Okay.
Don't want to take too much of your time here, but I can ramble on with you, man. You're a good guest here.
Oh, well, thanks, man. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you're doing on your show here, man.
Yeah, it's fun. It's definitely fun to, I just, you know, at first it was just playing music, and then I thought, there's all these people out there who want to hear these people, you know, talk and what's on their minds, and so I tried to get a couple interviews, and it went really well, and so that's sort of we play really good music, but a lot of people are interested to the interview, so.
Right on.
So yeah, it's really, really fun for me, so. Well, Oddly Freed, I appreciate it, and come back anytime you want to, man. We've appreciated it.
Sure, man, and I'll, yeah, man, it's been good. Just keep on, keep on keeping on, man, playing that good music.
You too, man, you too. Oddly Freed on the Dark Side of the Radio, where all the good songs have gone. Stick around, we're going to be playing some Cry of Love and some Black Crows and all kinds of good stuff. Stay right here.